Everyone, very much for coming to learn Rabbi Nachman's Torah, and I especially want to thank Seth and Emily. Even though Seth is in France, he still sent all this delicious food, so in many ways he has a big part of this learning.
So next week, hopefully Seth will be back.
Next week, I can't.
Next week, Rebbe won't be here, so we'll have
the week after.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. We'll kick off the summer barbecue series.
Thank you. Tremendous yashar koach to Akiva and to Brian for sending out the email and getting us. And really, we owe a big debt of gratitude to Brian, who encouraged us to move to Breslov. After learning Torah of Chabad, of Tanya, we should go on to Likutei Moharan. And I think, I know for myself, it's very, very special to learn Rabbi Nachman's Torah. So last week, we began Torah 3 in Likutei Moharan. That's on the second page here in this packet. And in this Torah, Rabbi Nachman talks about the importance of holy Jewish music, and how holy Jewish music has tremendous power. As we spoke about last week, holy Jewish music comes from the same place where prophecy comes from. Nevuah comes from the same level. That's why David HaMelech, who's such a great prophet, he's also a great composer of music. And we find that the Talmud Yerushalmi says that Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Levim how to sing. Why does Moshe teach the Levim how to sing? Because Moshe is Adon HaNevim, the greatest of the prophets. As we read in last week's Parsha, he speaks to God face to face. That's where music comes from. The Levim are the singers. Music is connected to prophecy. And Rabbi Nachman said there is holy prophecy, and there is unholy prophecy. Because as we learned when we learned Tanya, everything in this world exists in duplicate. There is the form of holiness, and then there's the form of the opposite of holiness. So you have a Moshe Rabbeinu, and then you have a Bilam. As Reb Chaim Soloveitchik points out, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says in Baba Basra, Kasav Sifro, Uparshaso Shel Bilam. He wrote his book and the Bilam section. Because both Moshe and Bilam, their prophecies are more than just prophecy, they're actually Torah. But there's a big difference between Bilam and a Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is holy and pure, and Bilam is the opposite. So, in general, whatever exists in one level, you have on the opposite as well. So if you have a Rus, you have an Arpa. If you have a David, you have a Goliath. When we have holiness, we have a corresponding force, a counterweight, in the realm of the unholy. So if there is holy music, there is also unholy music. And Rabbi Nachman's been teaching us that holy music is, you know, the music of the Levim, the music of Tzadikim. We sang last week Rabbi Nachman's song, Oz Vahada Levusha Vatischak Liyom Acharon, music that comes from a holy source. And then we have music that's not holy, the unholy music. And that would be, you know, music that's got all sorts of other objectives. I remember once my teacher, Rabbi Wolfson, on a recording, he was talking about rock music. He said, rock is rock ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. Just no fear of God in this place. So, you know, there's some music that's, you know, it's not coming from a holy source. It's not trying to arouse a person to prophecy and connection with God and high levels of Torah. It's trying to push for other things, you know, maybe things of the body and things like that, not the most holy. And that's what Rabbi Nachman is talking about in this Torah. So let's, again, we'll review quickly the beginning of the Torah, and then we'll go on to the rest of the Torah. So Amar Abba Bar Chana, Rabbi Nachman begins by explaining a Gemara in Masechet Baba Basra, an allegory. Rabbi Bar Chana said, "Didi chazali ahi akrukta. I saw this frog. Tahavi ka'akra de Hagrunya. It was as big as the town Akra of Hagrunya. Akra of Hagrunya, how big is it? Shitin bati, it's 60 houses. Asa tanina, serpent came. Bala swallowed the frog. Asha pushkansa, raven came. Bala tanina swallowed the serpent. Salak viyasib bi'ilana. The raven then went and sat on a tree. Tachazi, so you see, kamanafish chelo di ilana, how powerful the tree is. The tree can hold the raven that swallowed the serpent, that swallowed the frog that's as big as Akra of Hagrunya, that has 60 houses in it. So what does this all mean? The Rashbam says Akrupta is a Tzvardeh as a frog. Akra da Agrunya is this big city called Akra of Hagrunya. It is 60 houses. The Gemara is saying it. It's a tradition. It's a Gemara. And then the serpent came, and then the raven came. So now Rabbi Nachman begins. We're in the third paragraph. If a person hears a song from a wicked composer, from a person, according to Rav Yaakov Meir Schechter, a person who gives license to urges. And there's a lot of modern music, unfortunately, is really very materialistic and very, very much indulging all sorts of urges and passions and vices and riling up these instincts. So that's really what the word Russia is. The word Russia we translate as a wicked person, but Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch says it comes from the word rishus, permission. It's a person who gives himself permission. You know, some people inhibit a little bit. But then the Russia, he says, no, I can do it all. I could do this Avera and that Avera. He gives himself a lot of rishus. He gives himself a lot of permission. And so a song that's about license, you know, license to do this, a license to do that. Kashalo lavoda sabore, it's hard to serve God. Because the song itself arouses these feelings of, let me think about, you know, unfortunately what happened in Woodstock in the 1960s. You know, it wasn't the Beis HaMikdash, that's for sure. So these songs, they pull a person to a bad place and not to serving God. However, if we hear a song from a righteous, holy person, Azai Tovlo, that's a great thing. It's so good to hear holy songs. And now why? The sounds of music and the notes of music are an expression of the heavenly birds, of the chirping of the birds. The Medrash says, why is it that the person who has tzaras, who has leprosy, gets pure by bringing two birds? The idea is, Yavo Klanya, let the noisy birds come, V'yachaper al Klanya, and atone for the noisy person who spoke Lashon Hara. In other words, kinil ke machmas kolo, a person gets tzaras because of his voice, shediber lashon hara, because he spoke negatively, he spoke lashon hara. Nimtza mishu kasher, it comes out that someone who is righteous, nimsheches hanagina shelo min hashtei tziporim chayos tohoros. His nagina, his song, comes from the two righteous birds. Because of Bazor, the Zohar says, these two birds, Yonkin Ma'asar de Nevi'im Yonkin, they absorb from where the prophets absorb. L'chein Nikra Menagin Chazin, that's why a person who has good songs, good tunes, is called a Chazin. Milashon Chazon, because of the word Chazon, a vision, which is the term of prophecy. Yeshayahu begins his book with Chazon, the vision. Lashon Nevuah. Kilokeach HaNevina, because he takes the song, Me'atar, from the place, the Nevi'im Yankin, where the prophets draw from. Ukisha menagin hu rasha, and when the person who makes the music is wicked, azayu lokeach hanagina shalom mitzipar machero shebeklipa. So he also gets his tunes, but he gets his tunes from the birds of the opposite side. Because of the Zohar explains, ki atziparim shebeklipa yonkim midadei hamalchus, the birds of the opposite side draw their nourishment from the breasts of the attribute of kingship. The Kadispalag Leila in the middle of the night, Kedain Kruza Kriz, there's a voice that comes out and says, Kitsiparim Achuzos Papach, the birds that were caught in the snare, Kahem Yukshim Bnei Adam, these are the people who are also caught in traps. Hatikun, how do you fix bad songs? Sheyuchal Lishma Neginu Mikol Adam, that we can be able to take music from everyone. Hualidei Shalumun Balaila Torah Shabal Pet, to learn at night the oral Torah, namely the Gemara. Because Gemara, shehi bechinas laila. Gemara is called night. Kedisa b'midrash. The midrash says, "Kishahaya Moshe b'har arba'im yom v'arba'im laila." For the 40 days and 40 nights that Moses was on the mountain, lo ayodei matay yom matay laila. He didn't know when was day, when was night. Rakal yedei ze. Kishahaya lo me Torah shebechtav. When he was learning the oral written Torah, hayodei ashu yom. He knew it was day. Kishalama Torah shebal peh. When he learned the oral Torah, Hayodeashu Laila, he knew it was night. Nimtza, so that emerges. Shatorah Shabal Peh Bechinas Laila, the oral Torah is called night. As our sage should say, he placed me in the dark places. Zet Talmud Bavli, that's the Babylonian Talmud. And the verse says about Choshech is called night. In other words, through learning all of Gemara, Yitakin Ashit Iskin Shebekana, he'll fix the six parts of the windpipe. Shemehem Yotzi Akol, out of which comes the voice. Zeo, that's what the verse says in Eicha Kumi Roni Balaila, get up and sing at night. Let the singing rise. How do you do that? Laila, through night, which is Gemara. But if you learn Torah in the wrong way, to be called a rabbi, to have power, that learning is not so prominent. However, but if when you learn at night, then a string of kindness is drawn, Umegin alav, and you are protected, shlo yazik lo machshava anal, that the thought of being selfish won't harm you. So let's review again. We went over a lot of these points last week, but just to understand what Rabbi Nachman is trying to say. If you look at the first page here of this packet, I photocopied from Rav Yaakov Meir Schechter's book. Rav Yaakov Meir Schechter is a very, very special man. I first met him about 17, 18 years ago. He was in his 60s at the time, and it was rumored in the yeshivos that he had had a very difficult life. And I saw it, you know, his wife wasn't mentally stable. He had children with disabilities, grandchildren with disabilities. And he even has a grandchild that he gave me a letter for. It was in a home in Williamsburg in Brooklyn. A lot of difficulties. But yet, when I saw him, he looked like a man in his 40s. His beard was basically black. There were a couple of touches of gray, but basically the beard was black. And what they say is that Rav Yaakov Meir Schechter, even though he's had a very, very difficult life, he has a tremendous feeling of trust in God, and that God is taking care of him, and everything is for the good, and he loves God. And even though he's had these tremendous difficulties, he really doesn't take it to heart, and that's why he looks much younger than he actually is. So today he is the Rosh Yeshiva, the head of the main yeshiva for Kabbalah. Kabbalah, it literally means received wisdom. It's the mystical tradition. It's the part that was given to Moshe, really about how to become a prophet, the secrets of how the world works and how the soul is made up. Traditionally, those who learn Kabbalah are only, you know, pious scholars who've already learned a lot of regular Torah, so they're ready now for the higher standards and demands of the Kabbalah. There is a yeshiva of Kabbalah in Yerushalayim called Shar HaShemayim that was started by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's father. And today, that's the main yeshiva to teach Kabbalah. That yeshiva, Shar HaShemayim, is the Rosh Yeshiva is Rabbi Schechter. Rav Yaakov Meir Schechter, he's the one of the Rosh Yeshiva of that yeshiva. So this diagram is a Kabbalistic diagram. So to explain a little bit of what we're looking at the first page, the Kabbalah teaches that the Gemara tells us God created the world with 10 statements. And we learned last week, just like there are 10 statements, there are 10 types of music in Tehillim. So the Kabbalah says, when we say the word statement, that's not really what it is. God doesn't talk. He's not a human being. So what does it mean, a statement? When a human being talks, speech is my breath. My breath gets pushed up through my lungs, and then it gets shaped by my teeth and by my lips and by my cheeks and by my tongue, and that makes all the different sounds that make up the letters, that make up the words. Now, breath is life. If you take away breath, a person can't live. So what is speech? Speech is chunks of breath, limited breath. So the idea that God speaks and the speech of God is the world, what it really means is that God took pieces of himself and he broke them up into pieces. Just like when a person speaks, he's breaking up his breath into chunks. God made the world by limiting his essence. He gave off of his very life, of his light, which has no limits. He gave off a light that was limited, and then that light which was limited made another light that was limited some more, and out of that another light that was limited some more, and out of that another light limited some more. And that's how the world came into being. The world is really the devolution of godliness. Godliness became more and more physical until we have, it's so limited that it's actually physical. So this chart is the chart of these lights, of these stages, what's called the spheros. So the first sphere, the first circle is called Keter, crown. Then you see on the right, you have Chachma. Then on the left, I'm talking about the right-hand picture. On the left, there is Bina. Then there's Das, that doesn't have a circle around it. Then there's Chesed. Then there's Gvura. Then Tiferet. Then Netzach. Then Hod. And then Yesod. And then next to it, there's another chart of another 10. Keter, Chachma, Bina, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod. And that's all under the rubric called Malchus. So what Rabbi Nachman is teaching is that the way God made the world is that first he made a world called Atzilus. And in this world of Atzilus, he released these high spheros, these high lights. These lights are all intermingled with each other. And so from the two lights that are called Netzach and Hod, out of those lights comes prophecy. That's the place in heaven where prophecy comes from. And that place in heaven is symbolized in two birds. And so when we learn in the Torah that if someone speaks negatively about someone else, the person's going to get sarat. God is going to strike the person with the plague of leprosy. He has to then leave the camp. But then when the sarat starts to heal, he can come back into the camp. But to become fully pure, he needs to take these two living birds, and one of them gets, you know, sent away, the other one gets slaughtered. That idea is that he needs to be reminded of prophecy. He needs to be reminded of where does sound come from? Where do the birds come from? The birds represent Netzach and Hod. And out of Netzach and Hod comes music. And that's also where prophecy comes from. So music is something very, very powerful. It's a very powerful force. It's coming from the same place in heaven that brought us prophecy. It's a very, very powerful force where music comes from. And that's why holy music, Rabbi Nachman says, can accomplish great good. And unholy music, unfortunately, can accomplish a lot of bad. Because if there's holy prophecy, there's also unholy prophecy. I mean, if you look at the books of Malachim, or the book of Shmuel even a little bit, they're false prophets. They're these false people, inspirational, charismatic, you know, unbelievably inspiring. And they're false prophets. And look at the disasters that they bring to the Jewish people. They say, don't worry, you can sin. God doesn't care. It's not going to matter. The temple will last forever. All sorts of terrible things that the false prophets declare. Where do the false prophets come from? They come from the two birds that are in the realm of evil. In the realm of evil, there's a parallel to Netzach and Hod. So if we have Netzach and Hod in the realm of holiness, there's Netzach and Hod in the realm of evil. And that produces false prophecy. But that's what false prophecy is. And that, Rabbi Nachman is saying, is bad music. Music from an impure source is coming from the impure Netzach and Hod. So how can we fix impure music? So here's Rabbi Nachman's Chiddush. The way to fix impure music is to learn the oral Torah at night. What we're doing right now, we're learning Torah. We're not reading verses. We're learning oral Torah. This is fixing the power of music. If a person, we'd sit and we would learn a Gemara, Mishnayos, that would also fix the power of music. So on a simple level, the right way to learn is to learn with a tune, right? Oh, yeah, 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 Yomar Abaye. So when you sing the tune, when you hum the tune, so that's fixing all the bad tunes, all the tunes that come from places that don't get us in the right frame of mind. The holy tune with the Gemara, that fixes it. That's on a simple level. But there's a deeper level here. Rabbi Nachman, in Torah Resh Pei Beis, I think I mentioned it last week, Rabbi Nachman says that when a person finds the good in himself, he's really composing a song. Rabbi Nachman said the same way we are supposed to believe in the good in others and judge others favorably, we are supposed to believe in the good that's in ourselves. And sometimes a person's depressed and he's down, he's feels like it's not going well, and he feels guilty about all of his failures and his weaknesses and the things he's not doing right. Rabbi Nachman says in those times we're supposed to look in ourselves and find the good points, you know? Maybe I did something good, though. Maybe I put on tefillin today. Maybe I learned a little Torah. I gave some tzedakah, something good I did. So yeah, there's a lot that I did that's bad, and there's a lot that I did that's not the right thing, but there's also some good. And when I find the good within the bad, I'm composing a musical song. Why? Because music always has low points and high points. Music is not, you know, all high-pitched. It's not all low-pitched. There's a low pitch, and then it gets high, then it goes low. Music is like the mountains and the valleys, the high points, the low points. If when I'm in the difficult points of my life, the low points, I'm depressed, I'm struggling, and I find within that some good, I find a point of light, I find some good things that I've done, I find some mountains that I can feel proud of, that I feel good about, I've composed a musical song. Yeah, there's some notes that on their own, they wouldn't be great, right? You go to an orchestra, some of those instruments, they're loud, they're deep, they're uncomfortable. But together with all the other instruments, it's beautiful. So you know what? Life is that way. There are points in our lives that aren't so good. But if I can find the good within those points and within these periods, I'm putting together a musical composition. I'm creating music. And when I create music, then I can go out and I can serve Hashem. I'll serve Hashem in the right way. If we look at this chart, we see that after you sowed, there's another chart of 10 spheres, all under the word Malchus, kingship. So just to explain a little bit of the Kabbalistic idea. The Kabbalistic idea is that these different spheres, these different godly lights, all found expression in the human body. That's what we learned about last week, that the human throat has six rings to it. The six rings are to correspond to the six parts of Mishnah, the six orders of Mishnah, to correspond to the Gemara. The human being is a godly creature. You look at a human being, you look at the body, wow, there's amazing godliness in the body. So there is a passage of Zohar that's traditionally recited before davening called Pasach Eliyahu. It goes through all the different aspects of these elements. And in Pasach Eliyahu, it is expressed that chesed, the light of kindness, is manifest in the human body in the right arm, which goes out and is active and does good. The attribute of malchus, of kingship, is expressed in the mouth. Malchus peh. It's expressed in the mouth. And there's a lot of ideas to take from that. One of the ideas is that what Kabbalah is teaching us is that the power of a king is the power of the bully pulpit. It's the power of words. The power of the king is that he can say things and his words light people up. I remember once hearing from my teacher, Rabbi Wolfson, he said a story that in Ger, they grow very long payas, and traditionally they tie the payas on the top of a shaved head, and they have a big yarmulke over the payas. So once the Ger Rebbe, the Svasemis, I don't know why, he called in a chassid, he said, you know, I think it would be nice if you let the payas out. So he right away came out, he unrolled his payas, and they were very long, payas down to his shoulders. So the chassid next to him said, what happened with the Rebbe? He said, the Rebbe thinks it's nice to have the payas out. Within seconds, the whole Beis Medrash had the payas out. He said, that's a real king. He didn't say, if you don't put those payas out, I'm going to scream at you, I'm going to rebuke you. He said, let the payas out, this is what I want. He expressed what's in his mind, and just expressing it lit them all up. Well, if the Rebbe thinks it's a good thing to be proud Jews and showing, looking like a Jew, we're all doing it. We're all putting the payas out. The real power of a king is through his words, is through speech. So Malchus, kingship, is represented by the mouth. So all of these lights are a whole process, right, for God's light to come down into the world. What is speech? Speech is expression of thought. When God's lights are expressed in a world, you see a physical, tangible world, it's God's speech. That's the last stage. That's called malchus. That's called kingship. Now, the Kabbalah also teaches that night is the time when this holiness, the holiness of God's kingship, is felt. Malchus is also felt at night. So now Rabbi Nachman is saying like this. The Zohar says that Malchus, kingship, is related to song. He said that the Malchus, the song comes from the Dadei HaMalchus, the breasts, the Netzach and Ho that are within Malchus. And he's saying that when we learn Gemara at night, so that fixes impure song. So what's Rabbi Nachman teaching? He's suggesting the following. The Gemara is all about what is the law. What are we supposed to do? I mean, we learned Daf Yomi, and I can't recommend it enough. I think it's the most amazing thing. It's a stress every day to try to learn a daf, but it's amazing. It's an amazing thing to learn the daf. So right now we're learning Masechet Baba Basra. So in Masechet Baba Basra, at the end we're up to chapter 9 already. It's all about the laws of inheritance and dying father, gifting away his assets. Very, technical law that if not for Daf Yomi, I don't think I would ever be that interested in. But because we're learning it, so, we get to it. And here we have guidance for all sorts of interesting scenarios. Like in today's Daf, there was the question, if a person says, I'm gifting my assets to my dog and to my son. So what happens then? Do we say that the son gets nothing? Because since the dog can't own, so the son also can't own. Do we say that the son gets half and half, we don't know what it'll be with it. Or do we say that the son gets everything? There was actually a case like this. There was a woman, Leona Helmsley. She left a fortune like $1 billion to her two dogs. So it's in, it was today's daf in the Gemara. What's the halacha if a guy who's dying says, I'm giving my assets to my dog and to my son? So the Gemara has a discussion and a conclusion. In the end, the end is that the son gets. The son, I think Rav Shesha says the son gets the whole amount. So there's a conclusion. In other words, Gemara is telling you how to live life. If the Leona Helmsley situation comes up, where's the money going to go? Gemara tells you. If you read Chumash, you just have, broad aspirations. The verses are not yet going to give you the level of detail to actually govern every moment of life. But Gemara governs every moment of life. So Gemara is like a king. A king tells you what to do. The Gemara tells you what to do. And if at night, which is the time of the forces of evil, I learn Gemara, so I have a holy king here. And if I learn it while singing, so then I'm fixing the power of song. There are certain songs that pull in the wrong direction, but if I learn Gemara, if I have the divine kingship guiding me at night in the time of darkness, how to live life, then in the moments of difficulty, I'm finding points of good. I'm composing a song. Night is a time of difficulty. The truth is, when we say that it's so special to learn Gemara at night, it's not just Gemara, and it's not just night. It's to learn the oral Torah at a time when it's difficult, when it's hard, when there's stresses. That's finding light in a moment of darkness. That's creating a song. And creating a holy song can fix the impure song. So this is what Rabbi Nachman is trying to say. Rabbi Nachman is saying that the birds, there are birds of holiness. They're the source of the holy songs. There are birds of unholiness. There's Netzach and Hod of unholiness. That's the source of unholy song. But if at night, which is a time of darkness, I'm learning Gemara, so if I'm learning Gemara at night, I'm learning the Malchus, God's direction, what to do at night. So then, by learning the Gemara at night, I fix song. Now he's going to go deeper in terms of the Kabbalah. Why? We're up to the second to last paragraph on page 1. Going back to the second page in the packet. Isa b'kisvei ha'arizal, the Ari HaKadosh writes, Kitziparim shebeklipa, the birds that are in the forces of evil, he mochin shebemalchus teklipa, are the intellects of the kingship of evil. Hashtei tziparim chayos tahoros, the two living birds, heim binyan amalchus tekdusha, that's the way to build the kingship of holiness. Lefichach nishtabach David, lifnei Shaul, that's why David praises himself before Shaul, or he's praised before Shaul, v'yodeya nagein, he knows how to play music. His music is something that he knows. Ki anagina hu binyan amalchus, because music is a way to build the kingship. L'chach roi hu l'malchus, that's why the singer is it helps kingship. That's why the verse says about David, Me'achara lo seviu. They brought him after the singing. Hainu me'achara minikos, hainu netzach v'hod. After those who are nursing, after netzach and hod. Ke'im enikim le'nevim, they give prophecy to, they give life to the prophets. Ve'im binyan ha'malchus, that's what builds kingship. So, to explain this without going too deeply into the Kabbalah, on a more basic level, the Kabbalah teaches that when we talk about godly things, we're going to keep finding the same pattern. So if we look at the big picture, there are 10 circles which represent the 10 lights that came into the world to become life. If we look at each one of those circles and start digging into it, we'll find in each of those circles also 10 circles. So when we talk about malchus, which is actualization, verbalization, articulation, leadership, how to actually be governed, how does life actually run? So malchus has within it all of the qualities of all the 10 spheros, of all the 10 spheres. And within malchus, there is netzach and hod. Now, what builds up the malchus is the netzach and hod from Ze'ir Anpin. There is a level right above malchus, is called Ze'ir Anpin. And from the level of Ze'ir Anpin, from there, in the netzach and hod of Ze'ir Anpin, that's what builds the malchus. In other words, from the top part of the netzach of Ze'er Anpin comes the chachma of malchus. From the middle part of the netzach of Ze'er Anpin comes the chesed of malchus. And from the bottom part of the netzach of malchus comes the netzach of Ze'er Anpin comes the netzach of malchus. What does this mean? In every level, the intellect is coming from a higher level. So let's explain. When you learn Gemara, so Gemara deals with all sorts of technical issues. Gifting money to a dog with the person next door. It'll deal with the questions of, a brother going and using the assets of an estate without the permission of the other brothers. And gaining a profit, does that profit get shared by everyone, or does he get an added share because he put in the effort? It'll deal with questions, a neighbor wants to expand his house and, put up a wall, but by putting up a wall, he's going to cause his friend not to have sunlight in his window. Is he allowed to do it, not allowed to do it? There are all these questions in the Gemara. There are issues of, if I drive into somebody else's car and I scratch it, I have to pay. How much do I need to pay? If I hit him, how much do I need to pay him? All these questions are in the Gemara. But the truth is, these questions are really reflective of something which is beyond understanding. These questions and discussions and ideas are the bottom of a long, long process. They really reflect spiritual experiences that are so deep that they can't even be captured in words. When a person learns Gemara, And he articulates the words of Hashem about all sorts of scenarios, what he's doing to his soul, he's lighting up his soul with lights that words can't express, lights that are much greater than any words, lights from a far higher dimension. So malchus, how to run life, how life is run in this world, is actually built from the lights above malchus. When I talk of the words of the Gemara, I'm really illuminating my soul with levels that are above all of these words. I'll give another example of this. We spoke a little bit about this last week. There's words and there's sound. Sound is higher than words. It's not limited into words. When you ask the Balatanya, what's better, a song with words or a song without words? So a song without words is better because it's not limited to these words. It's beyond. It's much more. It's unlimited. Malchus's words. When a person speaks Lashon Hara, it's not just that I've misused the words, I've damaged Malchus. I caused damage to the root of sound. I caused damage to Tiferes, to the root of the sound. That's why I need to bring birds who make sounds, to fix sound. So Rabbi Nachman is saying here, music comes from the places in heaven called Netzach and Hod. But Netzach and Hod, where do they come from? The Netzach and Hod actually come from a level above them, from a concept called Ze'er Anpin, from the Netzach and Hod of Ze'er Anpin. Actually, the Netzach and Hod of Ze'er Anpin constructs all of the pieces of Malchus, starting with the intellectual pieces of Malchus get constructed from the lights that are above them. So therefore, really, what the real root of music is an understanding. If a person has a perspective that in the darkness, in the difficulties, there are points of light, there's good even in the bad that I do, then he's creating music. And that's why David HaMelech is a man who understands music. David HaMelech, the Gemara said in Brachos, which we've heard a couple times, would wake up at midnight because his harp would play music, and then he would spend the rest of the night learning Torah. Music goes together with Torah. In fact, the Gemara says a person should always learn with a song. As David HaMelech said, Zmiros hayulichu kecha, your laws were songs for me. I was singing the words of Torah. Torah is a song, and especially Torah at night. Because when I learn Torah at night, in the period of darkness and challenge, I'm finding the good, I'm finding the direction. That enables a person to fix the impure music. Says Rabbi Nachman, that's now the idea of this Gemara. V'zeu shama Rabbi Bar Chana. Rabbi Bar Chana says, I saw this akrukta. What's the akrukta? So the Rashbam says it's a tzfardeya. Tzfardeya, it's a frog. The word tzfardeya can be broken up into two words. Tzipor, deya. Tzipor is a bird, and deya is knowledge. In other words, I saw a bird, Netzach and Hod, of Ze'er Anpin, which are producing the knowledge, they're producing the intellects of Malchus. Dahavi ki akra dahagrunya. And this frog was as big as Akra of Hagrunya. What is Akra of Hagrunya? That the words sound like karabagaron, calling out a sound with the throat. I saw the bird, I saw Netzach and Hod, which produce sounds. Why? Shanagina nimsheches mimenu. Real music comes from deep understanding. When I understand that in all the difficulties, there's still a point of light, when I believe that in all of my sins, there's still a point of good, then I'm creating music. I realize that life is the ups and downs of a musical song. I'm creating a composition. When I'm creating a composition with my life, and I'm connecting to God, I'm getting closer to prophecy. Akra de Hagrunya. Now this voice from the voice of the throat. Kamahavi. How big is Akra de Hagrunya? Shitin Bati. It's 60 homes. Hainu, in other words, Al Yidei Ma Tetakein Bechinas Kara Bagaron. How can you fix the voices from the throat? Al Yedei Shitin Bati. Through the 60 homes. What are the 60 homes? 60 tractates. In the six orders of Mishnah, there are 60 tractates. In other words, Upirish Rashbam, the Rashbam says, Talmudah Ka'amerla. The Gemara is telling you this. In other words, Sheyilmad Talmud. Learn Gemara. I hear music. The music's not all so holy. It pulls me to the wrong place. I need to fix that music that pulled me to the wrong place. I need to create holy music. How do I create holy music? I open up a Gemara. And I see that the Gemara is telling me how to live life in all the difficulties of life. How to live life with a Leona Helmsley. How to live life with all sorts of challenges and fights and disputes, how to resolve it. The Gemara has insight. That's why it's so powerful to learn Gemara at night. The Gemara says in Masechet Chagiga, anyone who learns Gemara at night, he arouses the merit of Avraham Avinu, and he has a thread of kindness pulled over his face during the day. He becomes a charming person by day because he learned Gemara at night, and hence the verse in Eicha where the Jewish people have lost the Beit HaMikdash and the prophet says, Jews, kumi roni balayla, get up and sing at night. Get up and learn Gemara at night. Get up and sing at night. So that's why the Gemara said there are 60 homes. The 60 homes are the 60 tractates of the Gemara. Asa Tanina. Then what happened? Came a serpent. Balad swallowed this frog, which he's saying is not really a frog. It's really Tzipor Dea. It's really the bird of knowledge. Says the Rashbam, Rabba Kamala. Rabba's telling you this. In other words, but you know, it's possible to learn, and the learning itself's not so good. If I'm not learning because I want to serve God and learn His Torah, I'm learning because I like the honor of being the rabbi, having the privilege, having all the glory. So I'm learning to be called rabbi. So then it's swallowed by a snake. Zeru Shapirish Rashbam, Rabba Kamarla, I know Yadesh Yomud Bishvil Shizkari Rabbi. Then Asa Pushkansa, then the raven came. Pirish Rashbam, that says the Rashbam. What's the word for raven? Orev. Orev is like the word Ma'ariv, the evening prayer. Erev, the evening. Hani al Yadesh Yomud Balayla. You know what? Let me learn at night. Let me learn at a time when things aren't going so well. My motivation isn't so good. But you know what? From the motivation that isn't so good, there's a point inside of it that is good. It'll take me to the good. So from the not so good, I'll get to the good. And then, by learning at night, Milashan Arvis, Ubala, I'll be swallowed by the night. Umagin Elavin Anachash, I'll be saved from this serpent. The Salak Viyasabi Ilana, then the raven goes and sits on top of a tree. Says the Marsha, what's a tree? Avram Avinu. Because it says about Avram Avinu that he planted a tree. And Avram Avinu is the person of kindness, of chesed. Through learning Torah at night, I have God's chesed on me. See the power of the tree. Rabbah is saying, look at the power of the chesed. That even on a person who learns Torah for the wrong motivations, through learning Torah at night, he brings himself to fix all of the wrong learning. So to try to pull away from Rabbi Nachman after all of these Kabbalistic terms, some of the key points Rabbi Nachman is trying to teach us. Rabbi Nachman is saying that in life, many times there are difficulties. And perhaps the biggest difficulty is that we're hard on ourselves. And we say, you know, I have a lot of sins, I'm not doing for God what I should be doing, I've committed sins, I feel bad. And we're stuck in these difficult situations. So that's like being in a night. It's like one difficult challenge. Being in night is not just when it's hard to see, it's also when a person is poor, a person is stressed. These are all periods of night. And in a period of night, the learning that a person does at night, that's a very special learning. It's an amazing learning. The Gemara says the learning at night brings a divine love in the morning. Learning at night means that if it's a difficult period and I don't feel like things are going so good with me, I have to learn Hashem's Torah and learn some Gemara and learn some direction. What does the Gemara say to do? What does the Mishnah say to do? Learn it all. If I learn all of Shas Mishnayos and I learn all the Gemara, there are only 36 Masechtos in Gemara, but if I learn all the Gemara and all the Shas Mishnayos, then I, even with all those difficulties, then I'm learning, I'm teaching myself that I can serve God in all these situations. I'm going to find all sorts of points of light to serve God. It's going to teach me to find points of light within myself. It's going to change my attitude. When I change my attitude and I find points of light within myself, I see this is really life. Life requires me to embrace these challenges. I've mentioned it so many times, but I love this idea. You know, I don't have the best memory, so I used to sometimes feel bad. I would learn a lot, and then like a couple years later, it's like it's fresh. I don't remember anything. It's just a totally blank slate. So I once saw this thought of Yaakov Meir Schechter. He said, if a person doesn't have a great memory, I mean, for me, it's really my fault. I don't review enough, but if a person, you know, does review and still he doesn't remember, he should feel it's a blessing. You know, God wants to give me the gift of a new rediscovery. Like every day I get a new discovery again. Oh, great, these new ideas. I love these ideas. They're so special. You know, yesterday I thought it was so special. But now again, I think it's so special because I don't remember what I saw yesterday. And that's really the better way to live life. It's much better to live life and to look at the up, at the difficult, at the good within the difficulties as part of the ups and downs of a song. That's, life is a big song. And song brings us to prophecy. And so when we learn Gemara at night, and we learn Mishnayos at night, and we learn Torah at night, and we say we're going to learn, we're going to change our attitudes, we're going to find points of good, we can lift up the attribute of Malchus. And when we lift up the attribute of Malchus, then we lift up song, and we actually create kindness in the world. When we find the good in ourselves, it brings goodness into the world. God does good. We're mamtik the dinim. We sweeten all the judgments. We learned last week that music sweetens judgments. The music of turning your own life into music. And Rabbi Nachman stresses, the way to turn your own life into music is to learn Torah when it's hard to learn Torah, to learn it at night when we're tired, when we're not into it, to learn and to learn. When we make our lives into a musical song, it brings goodness. And it brings Avram Avinu, the chut shel chesed, the row, the string of divine kindness on all of us. Again, I want to thank everyone for coming.